Da, 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 da. Time for another installment of Bedtime Stories with Thompson.
Bedtime Stories with Thompson.
This is 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne, Chapter 7. Hundreds of savages were on our heels as we raced to the dinghy. Stones and arrows fell all around us as we jumped in and began rowing. Luckily, there were no canoes on shore in which the savages could follow us. We reached the Nautilus safely, and I hurried below to find Captain Nemo. He was in the lounge playing the magnificent organ. "Ah, it's you, Professor," he said, looking up. "How was your hunting expedition?" "We were attacked by savages," I cried. Captain Nemo didn't seem surprised. "Anywhere you set foot on land, Professor, you will find savages, here as well as in your part of the world." "But what if they come out to attack us?" Captain Nemo began playing again as he calmly answered, "Even if all the savages on New Guinea came out to attack us, the Nautilus would have nothing to fear." Feeling a little more assured by the captain's words, I went to my cabin to rest. At 6 the next morning, I went up to the platform and looked towards the shore. The sea was filled with dugout canoes and hundreds of savages paddling towards the ship. I ran below to warn Captain Nemo. I knocked at his cabin door and rushed in. "You are disturbing me," said Captain Nemo as he sat at his work table with piles of papers in front of him. "But I imagine you have some serious reason for doing so." "Very serious, sir," I said. "We're being attacked by hundreds of savages." "Oh?" said the captain calmly. "Then all we need do is close the hatches. See, I press this button and it's done." "Surely, Professor, you can't think that these gentlemen could damage our hull with their arrows when the cannonballs from your warship could not even dent it." Then he returned to his work and I to my cabin. All day and all night I could hear the savages walking about on the platform, letting out blood-curdling yells. At 2:30 the next afternoon, Captain Nemo came into the lounge and announced that the tide had risen and freed us from the reef. We would renew our air supply and set off. "But what about the savages?" I asked. "Won't they come below when you open the hatch?" "Monsieur Aronnax, no one can get down that hatch if I do not want them to." "But of course you don't understand. Come with me." I followed the captain along the gangway to the ladder leading up to the hatch. We stood looking up as the hatch sprang open. Immediately, 20 horrible faces glared down at us. One of the savages grabbed onto the ladder to start down, but he was thrown back by some strange force. He ran off cursing and jumping about wildly. 10 more savages tried grabbing the ladder and ran off screaming the same way. I realized then that this was not just a plain iron ladder. It was an electrically charged one, and anybody touching it against the captain's wishes would get a powerful shock. No wonder they ran off screaming. And so the Nautilus, free of savages and freed from the reef, began moving once again. 2 weeks later, we were in the Indian Ocean, 600 miles west of Australia. One morning, when we surfaced for air, I went up on the platform. The first mate was there, scanning the horizon as he did every morning. Suddenly, he called down the hatch in an excited voice. Almost instantly, Captain Nemo appeared on deck. He began looking at something on the horizon through his telescope. I put my own telescope to my eye, but before I had the chance to focus the lens, it was abruptly snatched out of my hands. I turned around and saw Captain Nemo standing before me. His eyes were flashing angrily, his body was rigid, and his fists were clenched. But he wasn't looking at me. He was gazing at something on the horizon. After several minutes, his usual calm returned and he spoke. "Monsieur Aronnax, I must lock you and your companions in the cell for a while." "Can you tell me why?" I asked, puzzled. "No, monsieur, I cannot." 5 minutes later, Ned, Conseil, and I found ourselves locked in the cell where we had spent our first night on board. Our lunch was brought in, and since we had nothing else to do, we ate. Ned and Conseil ate well, but I only picked at my food. I was much too confused to think of eating. No sooner had Ned and Conseil finished their meal than they put their heads down on the table and fell into a deep sleep. I felt my brain become drowsy, but I tried hard to keep my eyes open. A painful thought suddenly crossed my mind. Some sort of sleeping powder had been mixed with our food. Locking us in this cell wasn't enough to keep us from knowing Captain Nemo's secrets. We had to be put to sleep, too. My eyes closed like lead weights. I fell into a death-like sleep filled with wild, terrifying dreams. End of chapter 7. Coming up next, chapter 8, The Coral Cemetery.